Hey everyone, and welcome to the season 5 premiere of the Mixtape Podcast. Thank you to everyone that listens to us. Thank you to everyone that subscribes, likes, comments. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We really appreciate it. And we hope you like the movies that we bring to you. So this week, and for the season 5 premiere, we have the cult, I call it a cult classic because it was the first movie in its genre to do this. This is the movie that kicked off every single found footage movie that we have. We are doing The Blair Witch Project, 1999's The Blair Witch Project. I am your host. My name is Dean, and I am here with my co-host, Marcelo Inestroza, and I picked this movie because, well, I haven't seen this movie in a long time. And as people, as our regular listeners know, we review movies from a screenwriter's perspective. Halfway through this movie, I thought to myself, oh shit, how are we going to review this from a screenwriter's perspective? Because there's nothing. there's no character development. There's a storyline, but it doesn't kind of go anywhere. And I'm scratching my head like, fuck, what the fuck am I going to do? We will try. The Blair Witch Project, which I love, was written and directed by Daniel Myrick and Eduardo Sanchez. And written by, I have a question mark, because the dialogue that every actor says in this movie is, there was no script. So they're just, what's it called, Marcelo, when people make up stuff on the spot? I'm losing the word.
Improvising.
Thank you. They were improvising. So what the directors would do is they would give them a piece of paper saying, your character is going to do this today, and that character is going to do that. And that's it. So everything that the actors say, it's totally made up in their head. So there's no script. But anyway, let's push on. The Blair Witch Project, if you didn't know, is this. Three film students vanish after traveling into the Maryland forest to film a documentary on the Blair Witch legend. So as the movie opens up, we get writing on the screen and it says, in October of 1994, three student filmmakers disappeared in the woods near Burkittsville, Maryland, while shooting a documentary. A year later, their footage was found. Now, I remember when this movie first came out, everybody and their fucking dog thought this was real because nobody had ever done found footage ever and put it together in a movie. Don't worry about the fact that it couldn't have been real, because how can you get like police archival footage, put it together and put it in cinemas? Like, I think people were forgetting about that aspect, but a lot of people thought it was real. I remember my mum saw it in the cinema. I was too young to see it in the cinema. I saw it years later. She saw it in the cinema and I was like, what did you think? And she thought it was real. And she's not stupid. But the marketing campaign for the Blair Witch Project was so amazing that everybody thought this was real. And they kept the actors out of the spotlight because they wanted people to think that these people were really, really dead, because the actors in the movie use their real names. Everything about them is real. There's nothing fake. So you can kind of see that. But when the movie came out, did you know anybody that thought that it was real?
Yes, I did. But like you, when this movie came out in theaters, I was a bit too young to see it. So I only saw the film years later when I was in junior high, and it scared the ever-loving fucking shit out of me. And that's why I've only seen this movie once before until today. So today it makes it twice.
Yeah, I watched it when I was young and I was like, I didn't know. I was like, is this real or is this like not real? Like, it was just the suspense of it all. And this movie feels like you're there with them in the woods lost. That it puts you into the movie, which is why I really like it. So
it really shocks me that you said that 99% of this movie was improvised. Because when I watched this movie, the thing that I really, really loved about it is that we spend half of the movie getting to know these three friends who want to make this documentary on the Blair Witch. And their dialogue seems so natural and yeah. so specific as to how people of that age would speak that I'm like, whoever fucking wrote this, they're a fucking genius, because I felt like these people were actually people I knew or people that I would meet at some point in my life.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The directors would say, this is your character. And then they would just, they would go, this is, that the dialogue was what they think that they would say. But what the directors did was, there's three characters. There's Heather, there's Josh, and there's Michael. And they would all get their characters and what they had to do for the day separately. So each actor didn't actually know what the other actor got. So it made it real. So say the director gave to the actor, Josh, you're going to go and you're going to scream at Heather because she's lost the map, right? But the actor Heather didn't know that he was going to do that because she wasn't told. So her reaction is real. So the way that they did it was amazing. That's why it looks real, because they're actually not expecting the other actor to say the things that they're saying, which I thought was really cool. The opening scene to The Blair Witch is we meet Heather, we meet Michael, we meet Josh. Heather is the presenter of the documentary. She's on camera. Michael is the sound guy and Josh is the camera guy. So they get in the car and they head to Burkittsville and they start interviewing the locals about the Blair Witch legend. And some of the stories are kind of key, but some of them aren't, because this movie doesn't kind of really have an ending. One woman says the witch lives in a cabin deep in the woods. And at the end of the movie, we kind of do find a cabin. So it's just a little kind of setup there. And another local, or actually two other locals, start talking about a murderer that kidnapped and killed seven kids. And what he would do was he would take two kids down to the basement, make one of the kids stand facing the corner while he killed the other one. And I think by the time people get to the end of the movie, they actually forget that that story was told. Because spoiler alert, that's exactly what kind of happens at the end of the movie. Could this be where the legend of Blair Witch comes from? We don't know. They interview a woman named Mary Brown. She says she saw the witch, but she was covered from fur from head to toe. And it kind of, it makes them think that the locals are nuts and that they don't quite believe the Blair Witch story, because every single local that they interview has a different idea of what the Blair Witch is, or what the Blair Witch does, or where the Blair Witch legend come from. They're not cohesive at all. So it sounds like a made up story. So they're doing a documentary, but they don't really believe in the Blair Witch, because the locals are very kind of fickle about it. But anyway, what did you think about that opening scene to get the movie going?
I really love this opening scene because I love the 90s late aesthetic to this film, with Heather having a camcorder constantly on her and picking up Michael and Josh. And the way that Heather refuses to put down the camera, I thought is picked back up in a wonderful way back later on in the movie in the forest. But I really, really want to challenge something that you said at the opening of this episode. You said that this film was going to be hard to review because there's no character setup or there's no character progression.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I agree with you, but I disagree with you in a sense, because as our documentarians go drive out to the woods, I love the interviews with the locals, because what that does, like you said, it builds the tension of what actually happened in the woods, whether it's connected to the Blair Witch or not. So I really love how the writers of this film and the directors of this film use the townsfolk and use the stories that the townsfolk were saying to make our main characters believe that they were crazy. And by doing that, you make them feel a sense of security before you push them into horror once they reach the woods. And I also absolutely love, if you notice, when Heather is doing the interviews with anyone on the street before they actually get to their location, if they're doing B-roll, like a behind the scenes featurette, the camera is in color, right? And the actual documentary is in black and white.
Yeah.
So I love that visual cue by the director. I thought that was a great choice.
Yeah, I did too. And you're right. It gives them a false sense of security. You're absolutely right. Because that's what they do. They go in, they're like, oh, this is bullshit. We'll just go in, film our shit, and then we'll go out. So they arrive at the woods, in the woods, and they start their hike and they find two more locals who, again, have different stories to what they've heard. So they've heard about 50 different stories. None of them are the same. And so, again, false sense of security, because it's just like, where do they make these stories up? And then they're hiking and they get to a certain spot in the woods, and Heather starts telling a story on camera of people finding five bodies of men tied together with their intestines out, but upon returning with others, like to collect the bodies, ambulance, police, whatever, the bodies had been removed and were never seen again. And the locals named the area Coffin Rock. Was this the Blair Witch? Was it the guy that murdered the kids? I don't know. It's not really said, but I feel like it didn't really need to be said. I think what they're trying to set up there is that these woods are not necessarily haunted by a Blair Witch. It's just sick shit goes down in the woods, and people have kind of created the legend of the Blair Witch to cover people's, horrific behavior. So what did you think about kind of that?
I would definitely agree with you that the primary driving force of this movie is that there's a witch in the woods that kills folks, but the cacophony and the gravel that this story is built on is all the other crazy stories that there's murderers in the woods, or that there's spirits of murderers in the woods. All that groundwork lays the legend of the Blair Witch very, very well, because these kids are going into the woods just for the Blair Witch. But all these other mysteries and myths and shit give them that much more anxiety when they go into the woods finally. And the other thing that I absolutely love about this movie is I loved how obsessed and how much of a fucking bitch Heather is, and how she refuses to understand that her cameraman and the guy that's doing audio, Mike, are freaked out. She is so laser focused on getting her fucking film made, getting her fucking documentary made, that is fucking asinine. Like 99% of the time when I was watching this movie, I wanted to punch this character in the face, because I'm like, fuck you, I'm out of here. I don't give a shit about you or your documentary. I'm getting the fuck out of these woods.
I know. She doesn't treat them great. Let's just say. She doesn't care. She's like, I'm paying you to do a job. You're going to do your job. And that's it. So I agree with you about her character. So they've been hiking through the woods for a while. And the boys are starting to get a little bit frustrated with Heather, because she's got the map. Now, you know how old this movie is, because she's literally got a compass and a paper map. Nobody has that anymore. You have GPS literally on your watch or on your phone. There's no need for a paper map. I don't know how people follow paper maps when they're hiking in the woods anyway, because everything looks the same. But anyway, she's got the map. They think that she's got them lost. She says, I know where we're going. I can read a map. But the boys are just so fucking dubious. They're like, I don't know. Do you know why? Because she's taken them off the hiking trail. As a person that has hiked many times before, no, ancient deity, no God, no Buddha, nobody is going to make me take a foot off the official hiking trail, because that is how you get lost and that is how you get dead. I never go off the fucking hiking trail. So the fact that she takes them off it, only having a compass and a paper map, and these woods, you can see, you can get lost. You'll see they get turned around, but this is when the drama starts to, it's just simmering under the surface, because she's like, no, I know where we're going. And the boy's like, oh, okay. But that's the start of the boys getting frustrated with her. So what did you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, just Heather's naivete and her belief that she absolutely knew where she was going, and the way that she treated Michael and Josh like they were pieces of meat really, really fucking pissed me off. And the other thing that I absolutely love about this movie is that as the situation gets worse, the guy that starts losing it first is Michael, and he is very, very uncomfortable with the camera on his face, and he keeps saying, drop the camera, drop the camera, drop the camera. And Heather never fucking does it. Never fucking does it.
Yeah.
And it drives me up a wall. That's why when something happens later in the movie, when Heather loses it by a tree, I stood up and applauded. Because I'm like, good, this is what you deserve.
Fuck you, bitch. All right. So as they continue, they come across piles of, because she's trying, she wants to see this cemetery that the locals talk about. Now, it's deep in the woods. That's why they've gone off the hiking trail. That's what she wants to see.
But for the first shot of the documentary, didn't they do it at a cemetery, or she wants to find another cemetery that's in the woods?
Yeah, the cemetery in the woods.
Okay.
So they come across, it doesn't look like a traditional cemetery. It's just, imagine piles of rocks in like a circle. So you've got like 10 piles of rocks clustered together, and there's like they're at sort of different points. So like in the olden days when you would bury someone, you would put like a rocks on the grave to symbolize this is a grave. So this is the cemetery that's in the middle of the woods. They were obviously deliberately put there by we don't know who, but they are so deep in the woods by now, it's kind of a bit unnerving, but it just doesn't seem to faze them, because I think they think, oh, well, somebody obviously put this here like, you know, fucking 50 years ago, 100 years ago. But it's so, I don't know, it kind of unnerved me watching it. I was like, oh, that's, I would go back. she's filming, you know, her dialogue or whatever, because she wants to get shots of it, and one of the boys accidentally knocks some of the rocks over, and Heather immediately puts it back. Like, she's just like, no, you got to put it back, because she looks at the camera, she goes, you never know. And that's true. When you come across stuff like that, like ancient stuff, you don't want to disturb it, because you really don't fucking know. And I just love the fact that, I wish that was brought back, because it seems like she's superstitious, but that was never kind of brought back into the story, but I wish that it was. But anyway, that was that scene. They got the shot that they needed. That's all that they needed to film. They just wanted to film Coffin Rock, which they did. They needed to get to the cemetery, which they did. And now they're starting to head back. And this is where kind of the movie truly begins. So what did you think about that scene?
Yeah, for a split second, when I believe it was Michael who knocked over the rocks, I thought when Heather picked up the rocks, I thought she was doing it to set up another clean shot. I really, really didn't pick up that she was superstitious at all, because of her behavior throughout the course of this film. It was so laser focused on what she wanted, and the fact that she didn't take 1 ounce of care to the well-being of her crew, for the lack of a better word, just drove me up a goddamn wall. But with that being said, I love the way that the writer and the director built up this invisible piano string as the film went on. You just felt that the tension was just elevating, 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 elevating. And before it would actually break, the directors would cut to a different scene that was completely out of context, and the people that were mad in the last scene would be perfectly fine. So I really love the way that the writer and the director played with tension in this movie.
Yeah. So now it's nighttime, and they've already pitched their tents. And so then they start, this is the first kind of weird thing that's happened. Everything up until now has been kind of normal. They start hearing noises, and Heather and Josh are outside of their tents, and Heather's filming, and They don't know where the noises are coming from. It sounds like it's all around them, but they can't pinpoint what it is. They don't know if it's an animal, if it's a person. It's just weird noises. And she comes, Heather comes back, and this is the first bit where she acts like a bit of a dick. She comes back and Michael is sitting in the tent. She's like, get out of the tent. And he's like, no, I'm not getting out of the tent. Like, I don't want to get out of the tent. She's like, what, are you scared? And he's like, no, I just don't want to get out of the tent. Obviously, he's fucking terrified. I would be scared. And she treats him like a child, like this grown man going, oh, you're just scared. And I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? Of course he's scared. She doesn't think anything of it, though. She's just like, oh, well, they're random noises, whatever. She can see he's terrified. She doesn't help the situation. And she wants to investigate what it is. So she goes out to investigate. She can't find anything. Nothing happens. But you know what? If Heather wants to die, fucking let her die. I would not get out of my fucking tent. But that's the first time her real personality comes out. She starts berating the boys.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got out of the tent either. I would have fucking got out of the tent, but I would have walked in the other goddamn direction.
But it's at night. Like, I would have zipped myself up in the tent and gone, nope, goodbye.
I really feel that this film has two distinct personalities. When it's during the day, it still gives you a sense of tension and worry because our group of documentarians get lost and the tension builds. But where this movie really excels, at night. Because here's the thing. Children, for you that are listening out there, camcorders from back in our day, when me and Dean were little tots imagining big things.
Yes, yes.
They were good, but they were awful. The fact that Heather keeps filming in the dark, and the fact that you can hardly see anything, and you can hear their voiceover at such a level of dread and worry. The thing that this film does extremely well is it understands one thing, right? It understands that the thing that is 100 times more scary is the thing that you can imagine rather than the thing that the writers or the directors show you. And that is the absolute genius of this film, because the writer and the director scare the shit out of you without showing you a single fucking thing. That is why James Wan is so good at his job.
The next morning, they've packed up and they're heading back to the car. But Michael looks at Heather and he's like, this is not the way back. And she's like, no, it's a shortcut. And he's like, not having it. And she's like, look, I've got the compass. We're heading north. Like, we can't get lost. We literally can't get lost. And he's like, but this is not the way. And she's like, no, but it's a shorter way. So he starts getting the shits. And she goes, it's only an hour and a half. It's only 90 minutes back to the car. And Michael's like, but you said that 3 hours ago. And she's like, oh, well, she's taking a little bit longer. And this is when the boys start going, they want to trust her because they know by not trusting her, they're going to freak the fuck out because they don't know where the fuck they are. But she stands firm that she knows exactly where they're going. The thing is, later on with what happens when they lose the map, we never actually find out if she actually knew where they were going, because she got them to Coffin Rock. She got them to the cemetery. So she obviously can read a map. I think it might only be after they lost the map that they really went deep into the woods. But I don't know, but you'll never know. And this is the kind of movie that does not answer anything. But anyway, what say you?
Yeah, listen, half of me wanted to believe that Heather had the map in her possession the whole time and she lost it. And that's when shit went from bad to untenable. But the other half of me wants to believe that Heather, even without the map, has such a sense of belief. She's so stubborn that even if she has no fucking idea where she's going, she is unwilling to admit to either Michael or Josh that she doesn't know what the hell she's doing.
Yeah. I like you. Like, I wanted to believe that she knew where she was going, but I will never know. So it's night again. So they've literally been trekking for like 12 hours and they're not back at the car. So I'm going to assume she doesn't know where she's going. They've pitched their tents and they start to hear noises again. This time the noises are a bit closer. And I look, Marcelo, I couldn't work out what it was. I turned my volume up so fucking loud. It either sounded like someone walking, like a whip cracking, something. Because you've got Batman hearing. What did you think the noises sounded like?
A whip cracking.
That's what I thought. I was like, oh, it sounds like a whip crack. Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. And also, maybe some broken branches in there in between, but the primary sound sounded like a whip cracking.
Yes, exactly. But the thing is that what makes this so creepy is that they are so deep in the woods that it couldn't be another living person. And it couldn't be an animal because animals don't make that noise. So it just pushes the tension up even more because you're like, what the fuck is that? When they wake up in the morning, Heather comes out of her tent and she finds three piles of rocks right outside their tent that were not there when they arrived. Now the boys accuse her, oh, you did this. And she's like, I didn't do this. And they're like, oh, you just didn't see them. And she's like, I would have seen three piles of rocks outside our tent. Like, you didn't see them. And the thing is, that's really eerie and creepy because they weren't there and she didn't put them there and they didn't put them there. And like I said before, the piles of rocks symbolizes a grave. So that was really creepy. And they kind of dismiss it. They're like, yeah, let's just fucking go. They don't want anything to do with anything. Let's just fucking go. So thoughts about that really, really creepy scene.
Yeah, I really thought that was the spirit in the woods marking them for death. And I thought that was the first indication that they weren't going to get out of the woods and that they were going to go around in circles. And it's really interesting that the pile of rocks were placed right by the tent because, spoilers, but the first one to go happens with the other two in there. In the tent. So yeah. I'm like, so that to me was the spirit or the villain of this piece, whoever that may be, marking the tent with blood, but not blood.
Yeah. No, I get you. So they start the walk, they start the hike, and Heather asks, Josh, do you have the map? She can't find it.
Do you have the map? I'm sorry.
And Josh says he doesn't have it.
Right? Why am I laughing? I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is when shit goes to shit, right? Josh just says he doesn't have it. This causes arguments and frustration because Josh has the camera on Heather and he's like, stop fucking around. Where's the map? And she's like, I don't have it. I always have it in one place. It's not there. I don't have it. You know, haha, that's really funny. But she's not, she doesn't even look like she's kidding. Like, why would she play a joke? It's just that Josh and Michael are so shit scared at the moment. They're like, no, really, where's the map? And she's just as scared as them. She's like, I don't know where the map is. They start yelling at each other. It's just like, it's a whole thing. Michael starts laughing like a lunatic. He loses it first, the sound guy. He's like that maniacal laugh of like, I don't care whether I live or die. Like, he's just fucking at the brink. He's lost it. He knows they're lost. There's no map. You know, Heather's like, oh, no, I know where we're going. You know, I have a compass. Like, we'll be fine. And again, arguments. They start walking and Michael's still laughing. And they're like, what the fuck are you laughing at? And he's laughing so hard that he can hardly breathe. And he's like, I kicked that fucking map into the creek because it was useless. And oh, my fucking God. And he starts laughing again. And Heather and Josh just fucking, they literally jump him. They're like, fuck you. And then Josh is like, they get violent with him and he starts apologizing. And I'm like, no, you're a fuckwit. What do you mean? And he's like, it wasn't working anyway. And Heather goes, I knew exactly where we were going. What are you talking? And now we have no fucking clue where we're going. And then Josh is like, Michael's like, well, fucking, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, do not, if I was Heather, I would point in the opposite direction that I was going. And I'm like, you go that way. Fuck, you can fuck off. Like, I would say, don't follow me. Fuck off. Like, no. But Michael was at the brink. He was just, I would just leave his fucking ass behind. I was so frustrated when he did that. I could feel Heather's anger towards him. Like, what the fuck? But anyway, what do you think?
Yeah, here's the thing. I thought that Heather's anger was justified because for Michael to do that is so asinine and so stupid. But the only thing that I could think throughout the whole scene is who's holding the camera? Because when Heather starts giving Michael the riot act and basically jumps on him, I believe that she's still holding the camera, right? Because if she wasn't holding the camera, we would have seen her in the shot, but we don't see her in the shot. So
Josh is holding the camera.
Okay, Josh is holding the camera. Okay. I'm getting a little lost in the.
Josh is not gone yet.
Yeah. Josh is not gone yet. But yeah. At that point, I completely agree with you. I would have kicked Michael in the balls and left him in the woods for dead. Because that is completely unexcusable. Because if Josh didn't kick the fucking map into the river, you're on the wrong side of the river. Sorry, guys. I really believe that our favorite group of documentarians would have gotten out.
Maybe. Well, maybe. Because something's coming up that makes me think they probably would not have. I hope I wrote it down. If I didn't, I'll bring it up. So they keep going after they've gotten violent with each other. And they come across the iconic Blair Witch icon, which are basically twigs in the shape of a person. And there's a lot of them hanging off the trees. Now, this is obviously man-made. This is not natural. So somebody else has been this deep into the woods and they've made so many of these Blair Witch icons. And it's creepy. They're hanging. There's so many of them hanging from all the trees around them. It's fucking creepy. I remember watching it for the first time when I was younger and I was like, this is the creepiest. That's the creepiest part of the whole fucking movie. I was like, oh no. But it's funny because nothing actually happens in that scene except that. But that's enough to creep you the fuck out. Michael loses it again and he starts screaming, help us, please help us. Like, he's lost it. He's fucking lost it. But that was that scene. And what were your thoughts?
That was tremendously disturbing. I was like, somebody has to be following it. They cannot be by themselves. So it really took me a while to really believe, like the characters, that all this stuff was happening because of spirits and eventually the Blair Witch.
Yeah, something. Yeah, exactly. You know that something's going on, but you don't exactly know what is going on. So it's night again, and they're in their tents when they start hearing noises. But this time, it's even closer, and it's mumbling, which is the creepiest shit. It's like they can hear people mumbling and kids laughing. I would die. I would just fucking die. I'd just kill myself. I would be so fucking scared. Like, and they freak the fuck out, which is totally warranted. They even end up bolting from their tents. Now, this is a great shot because this is a shot, I think Josh is holding the camera and Heather runs from her tent. Josh is behind her and all you can see is he's got his spotlight on her and every inch around her is darkness. It looks like she's just running into an abyss of darkness and she's screaming and she's like, oh my God, what the fuck is that? Like, what the fuck is she looking at? We don't know. She's just running for dear life. She doesn't know where she's running, but it's such a creepy shot because like Marcelo said before, we don't see anything. We don't know anything. And it's just, they run, they stop, and then they just huddle together until the sun comes up. But something interesting about that scene, Josh, the camera guy, his instructions from the directors on that day was this. Heather's going to run into the woods. You're going to follow her with the camera. And when you get to a certain juncture, you're going to pan the camera to the left. And there was actually a person standing there dressed up as a witch, a Blair Witch, right? But you would only see it for a second, a split second. He would turn it and then he would turn back. And it would make people think, wait, what the fuck was that? But what ended up happening on the day was Josh was so in the moment that he actually forgot to pan the camera. So this poor actor dressed up as the Blair Witch never got on film. But the thing is, the directors didn't know that until the three actors came out of the woods because they were actually camping and hiking in the woods. So they didn't end up seeing any of the footage. So when they saw that Josh hadn't actually panned the camera, it's not like they could go back and do reshoots. They were like, oh, fuck. But some people think it was good that he didn't pan. I think that it would have been awesome if he panned the camera and you saw a creepy ass like ghost for a split second. I thought that that would have been really cool, but it wasn't meant to be. But that's just a little bit of trivia about that scene. So what did you think about that whole scene?
So hold up. So let me get something straight here. Just for personal sake.
Yep.
So the crew would meet with the actors in the day and just send the actors into the woods by themselves?
No, there's no crew. It's them filming. There's no
and
crew.
That's it.
It's Josh, Michael, and Heather. And yes, the directors sent them into the woods for 3 days to hike.
Right.
They gave them, the directors gave them GPS coordinates to their next location, which would have food, our rations. And it's funny because each day their rations would get less and less because, you know, when you're hungry, you get fucking more agitated. So they did that on purpose. There was no crew. There was no sound guy. There was no nothing. It was literally them. That's why it felt so real. There was nobody else in the woods but them.
Well, because of the fact that this movie was you know made in 1999, there's no Video Village. So
exactly.
So what you get is what you get. So that is fascinating to me. I'm sorry I slowed us down there for a little bit, but that is so fascinating to me that the writer and the director had so much faith in these actors to do it right, that they just gave them instructions and GPS coordinates and set them out into the woods.
Yeah. Bye. Have fun. But that was the only thing that the actor did. Everything else they were told to do, they did perfectly. But that was the only time that they didn't do it. And that director was like, oh, fuck. But anyway, moving on. They've all huddled together until the sun comes up. And when they return to their camp, because they didn't go back at night, when they return to their camp, they see it looks as if it's been rummaged through and Josh's shit has been pulled from his tent and it's everywhere. And Heather is like, why is it only your shit? Why is mine and Michael's shit not out? And Josh doesn't want to think about it. He's like, I don't know. I don't care. But she's like, no, but like, who did this? Because it wasn't an animal that did it. Like, what the fuck did this? Michael is, what did I write? Michael is annoying. He's fucking annoying. Yeah, Michael. Oh, that's what I wrote. Michael is annoying because he's scared. And when a lot of people get scared, they get angry and aggressive. And he's getting angry and aggressive towards Josh and Heather because obviously he's scared and he hasn't eaten and he thinks he's going to die. So they decide to leave quick smart. They're like, let's just get our shit. Let's leave. Let's go. What did you think about that? That was creepy to me. Because it's like it had to have been a person rummaging through their shit.
Yeah, but again, it had to be in a person rummaging through their shit. That's a really good theory. But again, at this point in the movie, I'm thinking as audience member, there's something wrong with this forest. And like before, with the rocks being placed by the tent, and the fact that when they got back to the tent, Josh's stuff was the one that was, you know, all over everywhere. Rummage through and everywhere. That was me. That was the spirit saying, motherfucker, you're first. You're going to be first.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But listen, I also believe that when people get dehydrated, people get hungry, they get stupid, but they get agitated and they get, they get loud, they get rude, but they also get really fucking stupid.
No, they do. 100%. So as they're walking along, and this is really when you go, oh, fuck. As they're walking along, one of them sees a specific log and they recognize it. They're like, I've seen this log before. And Heather's like, no, we haven't. And I think it's Michael that goes, yeah, we have. And she's like, no, it's not. All the logs look the same. And then Michael starts freaking out going, we passed that log like 2 days ago, whenever it was. And she's like, no, it's not. And then she realizes it's the same log they passed and they have literally been walking in circles. But what I wanted to bring up before, because you said if they, or I think it was me or you that said if they had a map, they would have gotten out.
That was
she has a She has a compass. And she goes, I don't understand. We've been going south the entire time. So something's fucking with the compass, because if you're going in a certain direction, you literally can't walk in a circle because you're going in a direction. But she's been following the compass in one direction and it's taken them in a circle. This to me cements the whole, you ain't getting out. I don't care if you have a map. I don't care if you have a compass. You ain't getting out. You're going to die. This is what it says to me. So if they have the map, I don't think they would have gotten out, considering the compass fucked up. Yeah, that was the point where you go, they're probably not going to get out.
Yeah, listen, I was too focused with Heather going towards the rock and then losing her shit for a minute and she started crying. Because yeah. At the beginning of this journey, I had sympathy for Heather for being that filmmaker that wanted to get her vision. But as the movie went on and on and on, I just kept hating her more and more and more and more. And one of my favorite parts of the movie is going to come up in a little bit, where Heather stands by a tree and she just loses it.
But it's funny because the compass has worked when they first got there, but now it doesn't.
I think for that is like a false sense of security, right?
Yeah, it's as if the first part of their journey, it was like totally fine when they were going into the woods. But when they tried to get out of the woods, it's like the woods themselves were like, no, you're not going. And that's when the compass fucked up. So there's supernatural shit going on in the forest. And it's funny because more shit happens in this movie than happens in a movie actually called The Forest. And if you would like to listen to that podcast, you can. It's in our first season.
Guys.
The Forest.
Guys. Look, I cannot listen to a single episode from our first season, but the one that I often make an obsession for is The Forest.
I love The Forest. I love it so much. But yeah, if you want to listen to that, go to our first season. It's there. The next morning, Michael and Heather get out of their tents and Josh is gone. And they can't find him. They're yelling for him. They can't find him. And I think that they think that he's just wandered off because they don't really seem fazed. They don't seem panicked. They just collect their shit and start walking. I don't know. Did you have that feeling or was it just me?
I think they care to a point, but they don't care enough to look for him in any kind of meaningful way, because they do start to panic. They do yell out his name, but they reach a point when I believe they make a decision for themselves that it's either us or him. And where they're going to the cabin, I didn't mean to spoil it, they still look for him when they find that cabin or that house in the woods, right? Yeah.
That night, they've camped again without Josh. Again, I feel like they're not fazed. They start hearing Josh screaming in pain. Now, this is really eerie to me because it doesn't sound close. It sounds far away, like it's echoing, which really, I think, bumps up the creepiness. But they can't work out which direction it's coming from. It's all around them, again, which is just fucking creepy. They don't know what to do. They don't want to leave their tent. So when they wake up in the morning, they find a bunch of branches wrapped in what looks like a torn part of Josh's shirt covered in blood. And when Heather unties the branches, she finds teeth in it with blood. And just a little bit of trivia, those teeth that were in the branches, those were real teeth. The director got it from his dentist. His dentist happened to have real teeth lying around. So that's the authenticity. And then after that is the freak out scene. And it is the next scene after that is the iconic. It's the iconic scene in the camera.
So much.
That's on all the posters, that's on the DVD, that's on the Blu-ray of basically Heather with her nose up, like the camera shot is from her nose up. She's wearing a beanie and she's just basically saying her last rites. I'm really sorry to anybody I hurt. She's crying. I'm really, really scared. Let me tell you a bit of trivia before you jump in with that. That shot, because the directors also told them what shots that they needed to use. The director in the notes for Heather said, you're going to do this, but when you film yourself, you need it to be like a close-up of your head. And Heather was going to do it, but when she actually turned the camera around to film herself, she accidentally bumped the zoom button, and she didn't realize it until later on. So we get the iconic shot that was a complete accident, but that worked so well. What say you about that, the whole thing?
This movie is incredible because I can, again, like I said before, I cannot imagine trusting my cast to go into the woods based on notes. I can't imagine giving actors cameras to work with.
Yeah, there was trust there. There was major trust. Oh, yeah.
That gives me a heart attack. And guys, I'm not even a director. I'm a fucking writer.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? But in a way, I think that this movie is blessed, right? Yeah. Because so many of the shots that they got really feel like they were by accident, but they were by accident for the better. First, that running shot when they first ran out of the tent and Michael was supposed to pan the camera to the right to see the Blair Witch, but he got so in the moment that he completely forgot.
Yeah.
And the famous shot with Heather pushing to zoom and giving her last rites, that shot is fucking amazing. But the fact that it happened by accident just blows my fucking mind. I'm like,
yeah.
And listen, and the other fact is, again, the fact that these writers didn't have any idea of the footage that they had until maybe the next day, because there's no Video Village. Video Village, guys, for those of you who don't know, on a set, after they do a setup or after they shoot a scene, the director and a couple of crew members will be off to the side watching the monitors, right? And today when you make movies, Video Village can play back footage almost instantly of what you actually shot.
Yeah.
But you couldn't do that in the 90s. And I'm like, the craftsmanship of this fucking movie is amazing. I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
No. Go ahead. The directors had to trust the actors completely to film what they needed to film. And that kind of trust you don't have anymore.
No, of course not. Are you fucking...
No way. It's like, you're an actor. Fuck this. You're not going to fucking film. Yeah, but that's what makes this... A lot of people hate this movie, but if you just know what went into making it, it's actually fucking genius.
Genius, yeah.
And again, it was the first found footage film. The fact that these guys sat down and went, we want to film a movie, but we're going to do it guerrilla style, and it made the amount of money that it made, which is coming up in my trivia, unbelievable. Mm. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
pioneers.
Yeah, if it wasn't for this movie, one of my favorite found footage movies probably would have never happened.
Cloverfield. What is it? Oh, Cloverfield. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Cloverfield.
Exactly. One of my favorite found footage movies, if you all haven't seen it, Hell House LLC, I would highly recommend that. There's like three or four sequels, but the first one is definitely, definitely creepy as shit. Anyway, let's move on. So that night, because obviously they're lost, they got to camp again. They start wandering around because... I don't know why. They're just fucking walking around. And they come across a derelict house. It's not even a cabin. It looks like somebody just built a house there, and there's no windows, and there's graffiti, and They enter the house to see if Josh is there. Maybe that's where he wandered off. Maybe he found it and he's gotten shelter. So they're yelling for him, and they start hearing Josh screaming. But they can't pinpoint where the sound is coming from. They're running upstairs, they're running downstairs. And the camera, the way that they shot it is good, because the way that they shot it is panicked. And it's Heather's screaming. Michael is screaming. And they can hear Josh screaming in the background. And you don't know what the fuck is going on. You're like, who's filming? What are they upstairs? You don't know where they are in the house. The camera is shaky.
Also, the camera is shaky, but it's not shaky cam. It's shaky, but it's not like I'm going to throw up shaky.
Yeah, exactly. So they don't know where the sound is coming from. And then they say, oh my God, the sound is coming from the basement. So they rush down there. Heather rushes down there because she's screaming. She rushes down to the basement and Heather starts screaming again. Her screaming gets a bit annoying. But anyway, she goes to the basement and she sees Michael, not Josh. She sees Michael standing facing the wall, rocking back and forth. She's screaming even more. And then Heather gets knocked down and the camera gets like obviously pushed out of her hands and onto the ground. And that was it. That's literally the end. That's the end.
Oh, wait. I just put that together in my head.
What?
I just remember the story about the, you know, one of the stories from earlier in the movie about the serial killer.
That's what I mean. It comes back.
Yeah, I'm like, what? I'm like, holy shit, I just remember that now. I didn't.
That's what I don't think people put two and two together.
Yeah, because initially as you were talking, I was like, it's got to be the witch. It's got to be the witch. But the minute you said Michael standing in the corner, shaking back foot, I was like, so wait a minute, maybe the witch was responsible for everything outside, and in the cabin, it was the killer spirit or it was an actual killer. But I just put that together.
Yeah.
Now I can't believe it.
Yeah, and we don't know. We don't know if it was something supernatural. We don't know if it was the killer that killed those seven kids. Yeah, we don't know. Anyway, that's the end.
Before you do your trivia, I have one extra piece of trivia that you might like, and we haven't discussed this. All right, so when I was learning to do screenplay writing improperly in 2007, my screenplay writing course had an in-class film competition, and one of the judges who showed up to judge the films that we had shot is the actor who plays Michael.
Cool. That's so cool.
Listen, I at the time...
You're an idiot. You didn't care.
Exactly. I was an idiot and I didn't care. And also I was so focused in pulling myself underneath the water, because at that point in the class I was drowning. I knew I was going to fail. So I wasn't brave enough to go up to him and say, listen, I love the Blair Witch, because I was so enraptured in my own shit. But I wish I would have gone up to him and said, I love the movie that you were involved with. And I just want to say that movie scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, that's a cool story. Isn't that shit when you have something and you think back on it, and you're like, oh, why did I do that?
Yeah.
Why wasn't I cooler? Why didn't I say something?
Why wasn't I cooler?
Why was I an idiot? Why? Yeah, that's annoying. Regret is very annoying. But anyway, shall I go with my trivia?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So I've said most of my trivia, to be honest. But the movie was shot in 8 days. So I said 3 days, but it's not. It's 8 days. I was incorrect. So the actors were actually wandering around the woods in 8 days.
What?
4 or 8 days.
Eight?
Yes.
Days?
8 days. The budget was $60,000. And this is where filmmaking, I think, doesn't make sense to people that don't understand filmmaking. Literally no crew, no script, 3 actors. The actors were paid $1,000 every day. So obviously 8 days, they got $8,000. Shitty equipment, no sound, nothing. And it cost $60,000. What the fuck? Yeah, that's a lot. But
location?
No, they're in the woods. Yeah, they're in the woods. They don't need to pay for the location.
Okay. So explain to me, how would... Yeah, because...
I don't know. Everything that they were wearing were their clothes. The only thing was tents, but tents are not that much. They didn't have catering. They had nothing.
Okay. Okay, what about the editors and the director's salary?
Well... considering the directors wrote and directed it, they probably didn't pay themselves. So they probably didn't budget that. The only thing I could think of is post-production, but they edited it. They did. There wasn't sound mixing. There's no music in it. There's no score. There's no nothing. So but if I ever asked the directors, they did everything. I would love to. What? I would love to know what cost 60 grand.
Where did the money go?
I don't know what they spent it on. Maybe equipment? I don't know. But it wouldn't...
That's possible.
Know. It's possible, yeah.
I don't understand that, but go ahead.
I don't get it either. But the movie ended up making $248 million. Fuck me. Wow.
You know what? You know what? God bless them.
The directors, when they got all the footage back, at the end of the 8 days, had 19 hours of footage to sift through, and it took them 8 months to edit.
Oh, my God.
And at first, I think there was like a 3-hour Blair Witch project, but they had to cut it down, obviously for a theatrical release. But I would actually like to see the three, I think it's a 3-hour cut. I would like to see that cut. I would like to know what they cut out. That would be interesting. 19 hours of footage. So anyway, that's the end of my trivia, because most of my trivia I was saying during the podcast. Okay, we're out. We're done. Thank you so much for listening to the Blair Witch Project. We hope you learned something about guerrilla filmmaking, I guess, indie filmmaking. If you want to reach out to us, you can email us at themixtapepod@aol.com. I did it again.
You did it again.
I fucking did it again. I said .com.
You know what? You know what? I could say something, but I ain't gonna do it. Go ahead.
Oh, for fuck's sake, I did it again. That's the second time I've done that. You can email us at themixtapepod@aol.com. That's the correct email address. Coming up next week, we have Tom Hanks classic, That Thing You Do. So Departure. Oh, gee. Oh, fuck. Wow. Blew my earphones off.
Sorry.
Anyway, as I normally say, as I end the podcast in my podcast voice, if someone is kind enough to make you a mixtape, that must mean that they really love you. The Mixtape Podcast is a Balloonhead Productions presentation.